Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Welcome to this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Spencer Caron. On July 9th, the Supreme Court handed down its opinion in McGirt v. Oklahoma. Jim C. McGirt sought post-conviction relief of three major sexual assault convictions, arguing his crimes occurred in Indian country and thus were subject to the Indian Major Crimes Act. If that law applies, Mr. McGirt's crimes should have been prosecuted in federal rather than state court. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of McGirt, holding that land in northeastern Oklahoma reserved for the Creek Nation since the 19th century remains a reservation in accordance with a federal statute that gives the federal government jurisdiction to try certain major crimes committed by Indians in Indian country. Therefore, Oklahoma state courts did not have jurisdiction to convict Mr. McGirt. And now, joining us to discuss this case and its implications is Andy Lester, partner at Spencer Fain LLP.
This holding, this case, McGirt versus Oklahoma, is one of the most fascinating cases, not just of this unusual Supreme Court term, but of the last several years. It has particular importance, of course, to Oklahoma, where all three of your of the speakers are today are from. But it has, I think, wide-ranging potential. Now, at first blush, the case looks to be a very limited holding. It's limited in that it simply holds that an enrolled member of a tribe who commits a major crime in Indian country must be tried for that major crime under what's called the Major Crimes Act in a federal court. And that's really all that it holds. Were it only that simple, the principal opinion is 42 pages long. The dissent is essentially of equal length. There are actually two dissents, but there's a principal dissent, and then Justice Thomas wrote an additional dissent. And here's what's, I think, fascinating about it. Once you get past the holding itself, and the holding, as I say, is very, very specific and pointed and frankly, of interest to the parties, but probably not too much of interest beyond those specific parties. Well, there are a few others who may be currently incarcerated here in Oklahoma, but under this ruling, perhaps should not have been incarcerated. Other enrolled members of tribes who were convicted of major crimes in what is considered Indian country. Specifically, the case involved what the court now calls the Creek, Muscogee Creek Nation Reservation. It's a portion of land of several hundred thousand acres in eastern Oklahoma. It probably applies to the bulk of eastern Oklahoma. If you're not familiar with Oklahoma history, and I suspect most people outside of the state of Oklahoma are not, there are a couple of interesting aspects to Oklahoma history that are unusual and unique to Oklahoma. We've all heard of the Trail of Tears, and this case discusses the Trail of Tears. The Trail of Tears started in the state that I grew up in, and in part in North Carolina, and it ended up here in Oklahoma. It also started in other states, and the Creek did not come from North Carolina. They came from Georgia and Alabama primarily. But the eastern Oklahoma, what was called Indian Territory, was primarily settled by five tribes: the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, the Cherokee, the Creek, and the Seminoles. And that makes up the bulk of eastern Oklahoma. If you were to look at the map of Oklahoma, And so first thing to do would be just, you don't even need to think about the panhandle. The panhandle was sort of added as a bit of an afterthought. It was called no man's land. So you take off the panhandle and you don't quite divide the state in half from north to south. You start at the north edge of Oklahoma and go about a third of the way towards the west, go south. And then when you get about two thirds of the way south towards the Red River, you would then cut over to the west and go back up. It looks sort of like an inverse L. And that would be the old Indian Territory. Unlike any other state, Oklahoma did not come out of simply one territory, but it was actually two separate territories before statehood. Oklahoma Territory and Indian Territory. And what we're talking about here is Indian Territory. So roughly the east half of the state plus the south central part of the state. And it does not include Oklahoma City, but if you go 30 miles south from Oklahoma City, you'd be entering what was Indian territory, old Indian territory before 1907. And that's the part of the state that we're talking about. If you compare the majority opinion, and it is a 5-4 decision, with the dissent, they almost they describe a couple of different things. They both go through the history of Oklahoma and of the Creeks in particular, and they're both incredibly well written. And I'd commend to you reading both the majority and the dissent, but they talk about almost two different things. And in doing so, you get this flavor as almost as if they are talking not even towards each other or at each other, but maybe over each other. There are references, obviously, back and forth. One of the interesting things I want to point out, I think our other speakers are going to talk more about the majority and the dissenting opinion, but one of the things I want to point out in the majority opinion is at the very end, and it's footnote 16, right on the last page of the opinion. And it's something, this is just almost a practiced idea, but if you're going to be at the Supreme Court and you're going to have amici, choose them well. And the winning side in this case chose well not only who the amici were, but even who the lawyer was for the amici. There's a footnote that's dropped that says the Creek Nation is supported by an array of leaders of other tribes, many of whom had a role, and it references specifically, see brief for Tom Cole, one of the leading Republicans in the House of Representatives. And it quotes it, amici are a former governor, state attorney general, cabinet members, and legislators of the state of Oklahoma, two federally recognized tribes, the Chickasaw Nation and the Choctaw Nation. And then the very last parentheses says, brief authored by Robert H. Henry, also a former state attorney general and chief judge of the 10th Circuit. Well, chief judge of the 10th Circuit, while Justice Gorsuch, who wrote the majority opinion, was on the 10th Circuit. And did that make a difference here? Well, he mentioned former Judge Henry by name at the oral argument, and he mentions him here again by name. And I think that is an important something, anyway, noteworthy that I did want to point out. A couple of things that I found interesting in the dissenting opinion and a difference from the majority. The majority opinion simply tells you that Mr. McGirt was convicted of some bad crimes. The dissenting opinion tells you in the very first sentence that he was convicted of molesting, raping, and forcibly sodomizing a 4-year-old girl, his wife's granddaughter. And the majority did not mention what the crime was. It was a pretty brutal, awful crime. The second sentence then says that the court holds that Oklahoma lacked jurisdiction to prosecute McGirt on the improbable ground that, unbeknownst to anyone, for the past century, a huge swath of Oklahoma was actually a Creek Indian reservation. And I just want to tell a personal story about that to illustrate the point. I moved to Oklahoma when I finished law school in 1981. And one of the first things I learned about Oklahoma, and I actually lived in Tulsa, where this takes place. One of the first things I learned about Oklahoma is that we had, I believe at the time, the highest percentage of Native Americans as a part of our population in Oklahoma and among the states. And we had absolutely no reservations in Oklahoma, which at that time was something that people were very proud of. And yet, and that was the understanding. I think it would have been hard to find much of anybody in Oklahoma who thought we had any reservations. That is not what the court says today. The court today tells us that we have at least one, perhaps five, perhaps more. So what does this case mean? Well, it means something for the criminal defense bar, but it perhaps means a lot more. The dissent fairly quickly starts raising what some of those issues are. Here again, it starts on page one of the dissent. But this case may affect zoning and taxation, environmental regulation, oil and gas regulation, oil and gas exploration, and the like. This case could impact the state of Oklahoma, its citizens, and frankly, citizens in other states as well in substantial ways, or it may not. And we don't really know right now. The thing I've been telling people since the case came out yesterday is there are two groups of winners in this case. One are the various tribes, especially the five major tribes there in eastern Oklahoma, perhaps other tribes as well. And the second group of winners were lawyers, especially lawyers here in Oklahoma. I think we will have a lot of matters to discuss with clients and to litigate over the next next several months and years to see exactly what this case means. Here again, it may mean very little. It may mean something only to the defense bar. We know it means something there, and it may mean a lot.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.